Song. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:5-6. For in the day of trouble he shall guide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he will hide me. Psalm 27:5-6. 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. 2 Samuel 22:31. And will you notice, God will not send you away empty unless you're full of yourself. You open your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 27. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, 27. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we are thankful that you've allowed us to be here today, and we realize the importance of receiving communication from the Word of God. Not anything more valuable to us as believers in Jesus Christ than for us to have the thinking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our reason, that's our purpose for being here today, as always, is to be alert and aware of the need of having the thinking of our wonderful Savior. We pray that in these moments today, that we will be able to sail in our Christian advance as we allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to sink deep into our hearts and minds and souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Second Chronicles is a wonderful book. And in this book, there are bright spots. I call them the bright spots in Second Chronicles. We see the bright spots, five revivals in this wonderful book of 2 Chronicles. We find King Asa in chapter 15, King Jehoshaphat in chapter 20, King Joash in chapters 23 and 24, King Hezekiah in chapters 29 to 31, and now King Josiah in chapter 35. I save this for a few moments on the screen for you to be able to see. And if you have not already taken this down, I would encourage you, please, please, to write this down somewhere. Bright spots in 2 Chronicles. We see the bright spots in manifestation of what we call revivals. King Asa in chapter 15. King Jehoshaphat in chapter 20. King Joash in chapters 23 and 24. In our first session today, King Hezekiah in chapters 29 to 31. And in this session, King Josiah in chapter 35. Before we move to our study, let me ask you, if you will, please, to turn to Second Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, and then our passage, which is verse 27 in Second Chronicles 34. Open your Bibles, please, to Second Chronicles 34. Josiah, verse 1, was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Very important for you to see, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now verse 2, 2 Chronicles 34, 2. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now please move on over to verse 27. 2 Chronicles 34, 27. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and because you humbled yourself before me, tore your clothes, and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. In fact, it seems to me that I could just ask you to look at that passage of Scripture and stay there and read it over and over and over again. And if we did that, I believe that God would bring to us a message from his wonderful word. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God and you heard his words, you tore your clothes, you wept, I've heard you, declares the Lord. Can you see how powerful that passage is? Oh my. He was tender in his heart. He humbled himself before God. He heard his words. He tore his clothes. He wept bitterly. And the Lord says, I've heard you. I've heard you. This is King Josiah. The revivals were encouraging interludes in Judah's history. And one of these is reported in chapter 34. Josiah longed for fellowship with God. He was not particularly following David's example or Hezekiah's, but he sought the God of David. As a result of this, there were 4 years of silence, study, devotion, and prayer. The law of cause and effect was at work here. The nearer he got to God, the more his eyes were open to the idolatry of Judah. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, send me, which is found in Isaiah 6:8. Likewise, after Josiah found God, he was willing to respond to the Lord. Could I stop for a moment and let you see, in preparation, in the proclamation of the Word of God, you have to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God lead you to understand what is being said here. The revivals were encouraging interludes in Judah's history. And one of these is reported here in chapter 34. Josiah longed for fellowship with God. The law of cause and effect was at work here. And the nearer he got to God, the more his eyes were opened to the idolatry of Judah. The closer you and I get to God in a right relationship with him, the more our eyes are open to what his plan and purpose for us is. That's the reason why Isaiah said, send me. Likewise, after Josiah really found God, he was willing to respond. And when I'm saying this, I'm saying it to you this morning. When you and I really, really find our way in proper relationship to God, our minds are open to whatever he has for us. What's interesting is, while cleansing and cleaning the temple, the workmen found and made a remarkable discovery. They found a copy of the law of Moses that had been lost right in the temple. This was the very place where it was supposed to be displayed and read. When I got to that point, I stopped and I thought about it. When the Bible is neglected, idolatry of some form will always develop. Did you hear that? When the Word of God is neglected, some form of idolatry will begin to develop. When the sacred writings were read in the presence of Josiah, The scripture here says he tore his clothes in conviction of sin. He then realized that there were some things to be taking place. The worship of God included the celebration of the Passover, and that was resumed. I want to take you this morning to some places where we've not been before. And I want you to listen like what you've never listened before. Because I want you to see that illumination comes from obedience. Illumination comes from obedience. Stay with me. Illumination comes through recognition of duty and through obedience to God. When you go to Genesis 24, verse 27, I being in the way, the Lord led me. In other words, you get where the Lord will lead you, and he will lead you. But you have to get to the point where you are willing to be led. God revealed to Josiah the coming judgment upon Judah in 2 Chronicles 34, 24 through 28. We'll not read all of that, but I would encourage you to do it. The only remedy for apostasy is judgment. Now, I want you to hear that. The only remedy for apostasy is judgment. In other words, if people don't get right and they stay in improper relationship, then judgment is going to come. Let's look at it. Our verse of scripture. Because his heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God, you heard his words, you tore your clothes, you wept bitterly before me. What is biblical illumination? Number one, and I must move you from point to point. Biblical illumination is a process by which the Holy Spirit helps a person to understand the truth of God's word. All of these sentences are very important. Biblical illumination is the process by which the Holy Spirit helps a person to understand the truth of God's word. Number two, illumination is often discussed alongside related concepts of biblical inspiration and interpretation. If you don't understand everything that's being said, don't punch any panic buttons. Just continue to listen and get to the next point, because I promise you, we're going one step at a time. Illumination is often discussed alongside related concepts of biblical inspiration and interpretation. Number three, inspiration involves how God has revealed spiritual truth. Inspiration involves how God has revealed spiritual truth. Number four, interpretation involves our study of spiritual truth. Interpretation involves our study of spiritual truth. Number five, illumination involves our understanding of spiritual truth and involves both the scriptures and the influence of the Holy Spirit. These are very, very powerful thoughts. Illumination involves our understanding of spiritual truth and involves both the scripture and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Number six, it is important to understand that the Holy Spirit indwells or lives within every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit worked the miracle of regeneration, and you became the recipient of imputed righteousness. It's important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit indwells or lives within every believer. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 9 teaches us, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Number seven, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And this is revealed to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Look at it. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God gives us that truth in 1 Corinthians 12:13, number 8. Illumination, then, involves how the Spirit of God helps us understand the truth of God. When we go to John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever he hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. You need to look at that passage, John chapter 16, 13 and 14. Number 9. The Holy Spirit also uses people gifted in teaching or preaching to help others in the process of illumination. This is revealed to us by the writings of the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, which says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherd teachers, and I understand what that means, to help these saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. It's very important to look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Number 10. In Romans 12, 6, it's added, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them accordingly. The scribes and the Pharisees believed in the literal truth of the Hebrew Scriptures, but still they rejected the Lord of glory and had Him crucified. Let us define obedience. One definition is compliance with an order, compliance with a request or law or submission to another's authority. Children were taught to show their parents obedience. We're living in a day which is a sad day indeed when children and young people do not have any concept of authority and obedience. I thought I might get an amen on that one. Synonyms: compliance, acquiescence, trackability, amenability, dutiful or submissive compliance. You can do whatever you want to with those definitions, but now in our passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 27, we find King Josiah. Illumination comes through obedience. Let us define again illumination. Number one, illumination in the spiritual sense is turning on the light of understanding. We turn off lights when we leave at night. When we come back in, we turn the lights on. Turning on the lights. We've had a time in our lives when storms have been here and we've had no electricity. Things have been dark. Illumination in the spiritual sense is turning on the light of understanding. We could go into a lot of theological explanations in relationship to this, but I want you to see that illumination is the spiritual, in a spiritual sense, is the turning on of the light of understanding. Throughout the ages, number two, people in every culture and religion have claimed some kind of revelation or enlightenment from God. Some of it was true, some of it was not true. Number three, when that enlightenment deals with new knowledge of future things, we call that prophecy. Number four, when that enlightenment deals with understanding and applying knowledge already given, we call that illumination. Number five, regarding illumination of the latter type, the question always arises, how does God do this? How does God do this? What we have to understand is that God has moved us from dichotomy, body and soul, to trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. And when God moved us from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit, He gave us the means by which we can comprehend those things in the realm of the spiritual. An unsaved person cannot comprehend spiritual things. But a person who is saved has been given that extra, wonderful, magnificent gift of having the ability to comprehend those things in the realm of the spiritual. You've been born again. You've been saved by God's grace. As a result of that, God has given you the means by which you and I can understand His Word. But we have to take advantage of His provisions. And oftentimes people do not take advantage of His provisions. He's given us the means by which we can enjoy and love and appreciate those things that are spiritual. The Word of God. The Bible should be for us a most exciting book that anyone could ever find anywhere. When the enlightenment leads to understanding and applying, it's called illumination. But the question in number 5 again is, how does God do it? Stay with me and look at number 6. The most basic level of enlightenment is the knowledge of sin. And without that knowledge, everything else is pointless. You ought to put that down. Did you notice? The most basic level of enlightenment is the knowledge of sin. And without that knowledge, everything else is pointless. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. On the other hand, by one man comes the righteousness of God, provided for mankind who will believe. Oh, you can go to the Psalms. Here's what you read. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Isn't that beautiful? Look at it. Psalm 18:28. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. In Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, is a song about God's Word. And when you go down to 130, verse 130 of Psalm 119, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I guess that includes all of us, doesn't it? Would you classify yourself as simple? Someone would say amen, but most of you said, I'm not simple. Yeah, that just shows how simple you are. Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, is a song about God's Word. And when you look at this 130th verse, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding. How fantastic. This verse establishes the basic method of God's illumination. When God's Word enters the heart of a person, it gives light of understanding to them. For this reason, we are repeatedly told to study the Word of God. You see how fantastic all of this is? We're talking about illumination. We're talking about understanding. Now, I could go into a lot of discussion about gnosis and epinosis and all of that, but let me just tell you that this is a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, from Psalms, saying, if you'll just allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to bless you, you'll be blessed. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you know how to sin? Yes, you know how to sin. Do you know how not to sin? It says it right here. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have the privilege of being illuminated, understanding what God has for us. I promise you, every person in this auditorium today, however young or old you are, you're dying. I said that in the first session. You're saying, don't say it again, please, preacher. Yes. I want to say it again. You're dying. All of us are dying. Young, middle-aged, old, we're dying. There are some things that are far more important than all the mundane things of this life. And all of us are involved in a lot of mundane things of the life. And some of that's necessary, and I realize that. But in the process of our living from day to day, we must pull ourselves above these mundane things of life and begin to look upon this from a vertical, divine viewpoint. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then look at verses 8 and 9. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. What is this saying? This is saying that you and I have the responsibility of receiving the communication and dissemination of God's Word. And when we study, while filled with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, we're able to understand that our enemies are ever there, and yet your commands make me wiser than those individuals. And then look at this. I have more insight than even those worldly teachers. For I meditate day and night upon your wonderful word. I didn't know I was going to be able to go so fast. I didn't know I was going to be able to finish so soon. I know that what you need to do is to look with me again in our verse of scripture. Because, Josiah, your heart was tender. And the question that I have for myself and for you, do we have tender hearts? And you humble yourself before God. Do we have humility before our Heavenly Father? When you heard His words, are we listening to what He has to say on a day-by-day basis? Heard His words. When I heard this, I was able to see how terrible I find myself. And in repentance, I tore my clothes. A metaphor. I tore my clothes. I bowed myself before God, and I realized that what I needed to do was to get rid of self and let God be in control. I tore my clothes, and I wept, cried. I wept before the Lord. And I realized that the Lord says, I've heard you. I've been listening. I've heard you. And the Lord is saying to us today, I'm listening. I've heard you. Illumination comes from obedience. Illumination comes from obedience. Are we obedient? Don't speak for the person who sits to the left or right of you. You just put that invisible circle around yourself, as I do the same, and say, are we really obedient? Illumination comes by obedience. You've listened, and this is such a fantastic congregation. You've listened so beautifully. You have been on your best behavior. You've listened to every word, and how much my heart expresses appreciation for that. God bless you. You are wonderful. But don't get the big head. We're all sinners, saved by grace. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, help us to realize today again that our lives on this earth are very brief at the longest. It matters not what our age is today. It's not going to be long until we'll be gone from this earth, and we will be in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not because we're good that we're saved. It's not because we've joined a church, or we're trying to keep the Ten Commandments, or we're trying to treat our neighbors right. That's not what saved us. What saved us is we've accepted that magnificent gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we pray today that you'll help us to understand how fantastic that gift is, and that while we're on the earth for the next few years or few days or few months or whatever you give us, help us to understand the importance of being illuminated by obedience. And for those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, oh, Father, help them to understand that there's no way to be saved other than through Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That tells us so vividly and so explicitly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be many today who will do that. And we thank you over and over again for every wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.